Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. In the foreword to the new cookbook, We Are La Cocina, the writer Isabel Allende calls La Cocina the most important food organization in San Francisco, a city known for its excellent cuisine from all over the world. La Cocina is a nonprofit business incubator dedicated to supporting working-class food entrepreneurs, primarily immigrant women and women of color, in building successful food businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. Their vision is that everyone will be able to make a living doing what they love to do. La Cocina, which means the kitchen in Spanish, provides affordable access to its 2,200-square-foot commercial kitchen in San Francisco's Mission District. They also provide business mentorship, sales opportunities, and connections to capital. La Cocina businesses have opened more than 30 brick-and-mortar restaurants, found national distribution for packaged products, generated millions in annual sales, and created hundreds of jobs in their communities. La Cocina is out with their first cookbook, and it is beautiful. It is called We Are La Cocina, Recipes in Pursuit of the American Dream. Joining us to talk about La Cocina's mission and the cookbook are three guests. Emily Puyana landed her first restaurant job at age 15 in Caracas, Venezuela, and has continued cooking ever since. In 2011, Emiliana, thank you. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Emiliana joined La Cocina's incubator program and started her own pickling business called Jared SF Brine.
Jarred.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. After 3 years of running her own food business, she decided to move on to her next food adventure. In 2016, she joined La Cocina as a program manager. Thank you, Emiliana, for joining us in studio.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Eileen Suzara. She is the owner of Suriwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina. Eileen is a first-generation Filipino-American who is passionate about shining a spotlight on her culture and the foods that are less often prepared when talking about the Filipino table. Eileen dreams of starting a food business that has a real social impact. Hi, Eileen. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. And Tina Stevens is the owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts that delight. When Tina was planning her wedding, she decided to make her own wedding cake. And after creating a show-stopping, delicious cake, she started getting requests to make cakes for family and friends, and then their family and friends. And so she decided to open A Girl Named Pinky. Hi, Tina.
Hi. And thanks for having me.
You have a pink box that you brought in today.
I do. I have wonderful lemon bars to share.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. Well, thank you all for joining us. And I also want to mention that for anyone who's in the Bay Area, Voices from the Kitchen, a storytelling project by La Cocina that seeks to share the voices and the stories from the cooks and the kitchens that are less heard, is on Thursday, June 6th at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. The reception is at 6. The show is at 7. And then We Are La Cocina will be at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco on Monday, June 17th at 6:30 p.m. And you can find more information at yourcallradio.org. So let's dive in and just talk about what La Cocina does and the amazing impact that it has. The director, Caleb Zegas, wrote in the introduction to the new cookbook that La Cocina was born out of San Francisco's Mission District in the 90s. People, mostly women, selling food on the streets and out of their homes as a way to patch income, a dollar here, a dollar there, in an uncertain environment. And given access to affordable kitchen space, high-level advice, places to sell, access to capital. And it's just amazing. The simple act of creation can inspire and very often employ the people around them. So, Emiliana, why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about what La Cocina does?
Sure, yeah. So we're a kitchen incubator, which really for us means a number of different things. For one, we offer a commercial kitchen space in which people can come and use the space with all the permits that they need to really operate a successful business. And really, when we were founded initially, we were meant to be just a community kitchen. But legend has it that folks at La Cocina realized almost instantly that access to affordable commercial kitchen space was just one of a host of barriers that needed to be addressed. if we were going to really support these women in formalizing long-lasting, fruitful businesses. So almost instantly, this incubator program began to develop around the asset of the commercial kitchen. Fast forward to today, our program is divided into essentially two main phases. At the beginning stages, we call it pre-incubation. And during that time, we really teach classes. It's a little bit like a mini food MBA, if you will. Mm-hmm. Marketing, product, operations, and finances, all with a laser focus on food. Really diving down and diving deep into the business plan that the entrepreneurs present, poking some holes in that business plan and refilling them with information that we arrive at or answers that we arrive at together. And then the second phase of the program is what we call incubation. And at that stage, we're really concentrating on growth. So we really begin to act a little bit more like almost like a boutique consulting firm, if you will. So we meet with the entrepreneurs one-on-one, set long and short-term strategies for growth. And then during that time, we also provide access to market opportunities. So a lot of folks will contact La Cocina with opportunities for entrepreneurs. And we basically look within the entrepreneurs in our program and see who's the most ready to capitalize on any opportunity or which opportunities fit the business plan that the entrepreneurs are working towards, and then pair them and give them the support and mentorship they need in order to fully deliver on that opportunity. So that can sometimes be a farmer's market. It could be a catering job. You know, for Tina now, it's her kiosk at Cal at UC Berkeley, mm-hmm. where she's been operating for almost a year, yeah, Tina?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have a kiosk at Cal.
I do. It's open Monday through Friday, and I serve cookies and cupcakes, coffee, hot chocolate, as well as pizza so the kids could have lunch. There's five of us there, so I'm not the only one who serves food, but yes.
And where are you located on the UC Berkeley
campus? So we are in the Student Union building on the first floor.
All right. And I imagine when you think about San Francisco and the entire Bay Area and just how difficult it is to live, what is it like to open a business? Can you just talk about what that is like, especially if you're starting from making your own wedding cake
right.
and then wanting to share that with other people? Tina?
So it's super expensive. Mm-hmm. and before I joined La Cocina, I baked out of my home. I didn't have any permits. I just baked and sold. And now, looking back, I was not even charging what I should have been charged in order to make a living. So I've learned to cost out because I didn't do it. I figured, okay, what's the cost to make? What's the butter, the sugar? And I didn't put my time into it, which is valuable. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
And all of that. So now I'm charging what I need to charge in order to pay my rent and pay and my employee and in order to make it a business that can help provide for my family.
Mm. And what would you add to that, Aileen? How difficult is it to start a business in the Bay Area? What's involved in it?
Sure. I mean, there's so many different layers to it. And I know that every business has its own story and its own journey about making it work. I can share that for me, you know, having a business that wanted to both, you know, celebrate Filipino food and then also had a number of ideals around being able to source from farmers of color, from Asian American small farmers, and be able to both pay, you know, a fair market rate for that while also having a thriving business. It definitely is taking creativity and, as Emiliana was saying, poking holes into a model to figure out how to be able to keep a foot in both worlds where you can both have a business that in practice can work and, you know, pay for rent, pay all the licenses, really cover your time, and at the same time, you know, give back to the local food system, which has always been a driving force for me.
I was also struck by something else that Caleb wrote in the introduction. In the years that we've been working in these communities, it remains abundantly clear the ways in which the world we live in is deeply inequitable. If opportunity were distributed evenly and everyone was given equal access to the marketplace, the food world would look a lot more like La Cocina. That really stood out to me,
yeah,
Emiliana.
I mean, that is, for me, really the one of the things that keeps me coming back to La Cocina. I think La Cocina, for me, is a representation of what a more equitable world could look like. You know, on any given day, there's 19 languages spoken in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we now have 32 brick-and-mortar locations in the Bay Area, right? If you look at restaurant groups and female leadership in restaurant groups in the Bay Area, I think there's about 8% women-led.
Wow.
Kind of restaurant groups. If you look at La Cocina, we would be 96% led. So if we were to become a restaurant group, mm-hmm. we would really be the only restaurant group of its kind. You know, our businesses employ over 100 people. You know, they pay upwards of $700,000 or $800,000 in wages. More often than not, our entrepreneurs employ folks from their own community. So we're really, you know, I think we. Not we, I mean our businesses, the women that drive their own businesses forward are really, you know, kind of being the change, really paving a path forward and showing that if we do reduce the barriers to entry, we can actually see real impact.
Hmm. What would you add, Tina?
Well, I think for me it's important to hire people who look like me, who sometimes we don't get the best rates because we are who we are. And I want to eventually, when I add more employees, I want to pay well above. But of course, I have to be making but my goal is to pay my people above what the going rate is and to train them to empower them to feel like this place is home and she treats me well, so that means we are going to treat our customers well. Because I believe that if my employees are happy, they are going to be happy to service my customer, and that's our number one goal. So that's kind of where I want to be in the future, is I want my employees to feel like their family. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Elaine?
Yeah, I think, you know, the only thing I would just add is, you know, for me, walking into La Cocina or just being around the Bay Area and stepping into any of the businesses is a reminder around collective power. I think that we absolutely, no one can really do these things alone or should have to. And I, you know, one of the biggest lessons I take away from La Cocina is this lessons of what leadership can look like. And it looks a lot more collective than a lot of other models are out there. I think that when you have these support systems, both in the incubator program, but even just knowing there are women out in the community who share similar values and are really committed to lifting up their families and stories and the recipes that mean so much to all of us, we can actually move something forward that's different.
Well, and to your point, 75% of food businesses are now owned by men, 75%. And women in kitchens make on average 73 cents to a man's dollar. And this is even before accounting for race. But then when you add in race, according to the Aspen Institute, lack of access to capital and race-based discrepancies in wealth unduly disadvantage aspiring entrepreneurs of color as they pursue their businesses.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's so true. I mean, Latin women in food make about 53 cents to a man's dollar. And I think African-American women are making about 58 cents. So there's a ton of work to do. Hmm. And I think, you know, in thinking about the restaurant industry, which is an industry that I love, and it's the only industry I've ever really worked in, you know, we're called the industry of hospitality, but it's so often so inhospitable to so many of us. Mm-hmm. The tone of your skin tone gets darker. The skin tone gets darker the further back you get in a kitchen. You know, in my opinion, none of those things are coincidence, and there's a lot of work to be done. And I think creating a space in which a lot of different sorts of folks can have a space to lead is key. You know, and it brings me joy every day when I get to walk into the kitchen of a graduate restaurant and see how they lead in a way that is so vastly different from, like, the food industry and the institutions that we're used to seeing out there.
What are some of the main differences you see in a graduate restaurant?
I mean, the level of compassion and understanding that people lead with, the fact that all of our entrepreneurs are the ones working the hardest within their own restaurants, are the first ones in, they're the last ones out. Mm-hmm. There's just, I mean, I don't even know where to start or begin, but it is just vastly different, wow. You know. This whole kind of brigade system that is the law of the land, if you will, in restaurants doesn't exist, you know. You know, the vast majority of the entrepreneurs in our program are mothers. They're raising a family. I just think they're doing a phenomenal job and a great service, and there's proof now, right, that it actually works. You know, 32 restaurants in one of the most difficult cities to open a restaurant is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I when I read the San Francisco Chronicle, like the date book section or the pink pages, you often read about restaurants coming and going and just how difficult it is to keep the restaurant open. For people who want to support these restaurants and these businesses, is there a list on your website where people can find them?
Yeah, there is. So there we have a map, a dining map with all of the brick and mortar locations that you can go to and follow. If you follow us on social media, we're constantly talking about what our entrepreneurs are doing, both the ones who are graduates and have restaurants and also the folks who are out at farmers markets or at Off the Grid or all these other amazing events that happen around the Bay Area day after day. You can always go directly on their websites and hire them for catering. I mean, we always like to say at La Cocina that you have a choice to make three times a day, and you can vote with your dollar in supporting the kind of businesses that are going to create the kind of communities that you want to see in the world. And so, you know, we all have to eat three times a day.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and then the other thing, speaking of customers voting with dollars, Caleb in the intro writes, as customers, we also bear responsibility. We're willing to pay top-tier prices for handmade Italian pastas without flinching, but chafe at a bowl of hand-pulled Chinese noodles that cost more than $10. What are your thoughts on that, Aileen?
And I'm glad that it's named in the book. I think we can clearly say that, you know, actually, you know, I'll say that I believe all food is, quote, ethnic, but really if we're looking at communities of color, our food have often been undervalued in the market here in the U.S. And so to be able to unapologetically shine up the kind of labor that goes into it, the care and intention, ingredients and time, that's important to value that in a really tangible way and make sure that customers know that and that there's a place for people to be able to share their foods and their products in that way without having to feel like they need to apologize.
Hmm. Tina, what are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with Aileen. And like for my business, people do not realize how much it takes to make a cake when you have like a Safeway or a Costco, you can go there. And then I charge, maybe five times what they charge. But I don't put additives in the stuff that they put in. All I have is sugar, butter, flour, and vanilla, which is super expensive. And it's me and my daughter, she works with me too, staying up sometimes. We've stayed up 24 hours to get stuff done.
Wow.
And our time is valuable, you know. And I don't think that people realize how much time and love goes in our food. And we need to be able to survive, and that's why it might be a little more expensive, but I guarantee it's 100% better tasting.
That is Tina Stevens. She is the owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts that delight. Aileen Suzara is owner of Sariwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina. Aileen is a first-generation Filipino-American who's passionate about shining a spotlight on her culture. And Emiliana Puyana landed her first restaurant job at age 15 in Caracas, Venezuela, and has continued cooking ever since. She joined La Cocina's incubator program in 2011 and started her own pickling business. And in 2016, she joined La Cocina as program manager. La Cocina is an incredible nonprofit business incubator dedicated to supporting working class food entrepreneurs. primarily immigrant women and women of color, and they're out with a beautiful new cookbook called We Are La Cocina. And if you have any questions or comments for our guests, we'd love to hear from you. If you work in the food industry, what are your thoughts about the inequities and the changes that, well, these amazing women are really trying to create and really are creating. So if you have any thoughts about that, we'd love to hear from you. What kinds of food businesses do you see that are having a social impact? What would you like to see more of? And then if you'd like to talk about just the importance of keeping tradition alive through food, we'd love to hear from you. I just want to say before the break that the cookbook, which I'm looking at right now, I mean, even just the index, I've never seen such a beautiful index. So you've got basically colorful boxes. They're all in different colors of the various women, their names, and then the recipes. What's nice about it is you get a story about the women, and then it follows that follows the recipes. And then there's another beautiful set of photos, about maybe 30 pictures of women from all backgrounds with a text near it that says, La Cocina is a nonprofit business incubator dedicated to supporting talented working class food entrepreneurs, primarily immigrant women and women of color. And I love this line, Emiliana. Our vision is that everyone will be able to make a living doing what they love to do. Yeah. That is just so refreshing, especially in today's climate where people are struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think it doesn't get any clearer or more dry cut than that, right? But it's true. We should all, regardless of what it is we want to do, have an opportunity to do that. Yeah. And so, yeah.
And talk about the cookbook, what it was like to be involved in the process. And then, I mean, you wrote Aileen's story. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you to see it when it was completed?
It was really amazing. I mean, so Caleb, our executive director, and Leticia, our deputy director, wrote the bulk of the cookbook, and they've been really deep in this journey for a little bit over a year, and they opened it up to us as staff to write a few stories if we wanted to, and so I set about writing two of the stories for the cookbook. One is Aileen's story, and one is the story of a woman named Alma, who's the owner of Michotes, a really delicious Mexican business. And it was really amazing, you know. I mean, I've been a participant of La Cocina, so like We Are La Cocina, I am La Cocina. La Cocina has been a part of my life for the past almost 10 years. You know, nothing previously has defined me more than this job or this community that I'm so involved with. And for instance, in writing Aileen's story, it was really amazing. I went to her house, we had breakfast together, and I started to write one story, and then suddenly the story turned into another. You know, Aileen and I have so much in common. You know, I'm Venezuelan, she's Filipino. You might throw that out the window and say there's nothing there. We were born 2 days and 2 years apart. We both are kind of toeing the line between these American identities and also constantly feeling like foreigners. I'm sorry if I'm putting words in your mouth. You feel free to tell me if I'm...
Emiliana tells truth. Keep going.
And so, the story turned into something else. And really, to me, that's the reality of my day today, right? That I'm in this position to guide and support but really, I'm learning every day from every entrepreneur that I get to work with. You know, my repertoire of dishes is vastly bigger than it's ever been. I know miscellaneous words in a number of different languages, and I've never enjoyed better food. This is literally the best fed that I've ever been.
Well, you definitely, when you look at the photos and you read the stories, you definitely get hungry. Today, we are talking about the overall mission of La Cocina and their beautiful new cookbook called We Are La Cocina. Emiliana Puyana is a program manager at La Cocina. Tina Stevens is owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts that delight. She's in the cookbook. And Aileen Suzara is owner of Sariwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina, and her story is also in the cookbook. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today, we are talking about La Cocina. It's a nonprofit business incubator dedicated to supporting working-class food entrepreneurs, primarily immigrant women and women of color. They're building successful food businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they are out with their first cookbook, and it is gorgeous. I hope you can get your hands on this cookbook. They provide stories about the women entrepreneurs followed by recipes, and it's called We Are La Cocina. And if you have a question or comment for our guest today, if you're in the food industry, if you're interested in this kind of business, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You know, the other thing it brings up for me is that we all have a responsibility, really, to try to find businesses like this and support them at a time when there's so much consolidation. And as you said, Tina, you know, there's a high price for all this cheap stuff, right? Like you talked about the cakes at Costco and Safeway. Right. There's a high price for that. And so, you know, if you can afford it, it is important to try to find these small businesses and support them. Today, we're joined by Emiliana Puyana. She joined La Cocina in 2016 as program manager, and she joined their incubator program in 2011 and started her own pickling business. Tina Stevens is owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts that delight. And thank you for the beautiful pink box with the treats that you brought today. And Eileen Suzara is owner of Sariwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina. Eileen, a first-generation Filipino-American, is passionate about shining a spotlight on her culture and the foods that are less often prepared when talking about Filipino food. And we have a question on Facebook from Steve, who says, I love this idea. I think incubator kitchens are powerful to change community economics. Small food businesses keep dollars based in local economies and are mutually supportive. When a small cafe or food truck that was supported by the incubator kitchen can then use a locally made hot sauce, pastry, or other product from the same incubator kitchen, this changes food systems. Can one of your guests comment on this and if this idea is working at La Cocina?
Yes.
Emiliana?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a true statement. I believe that that we bring about change in our food system by actively seeking out local businesses and supporting them, whether that's business to business or customer to business. And we do see those sorts of partnerships at La Cocina, right? I think we see it at Cal with Tina selling baked goods to Pinky and Reds, which is another business that operates out of one of the kiosks at Cal. We see it even within local businesses in the Bay Area and other program participants at La Cocina. One of our program participants at La Cocina has been baking the breadsticks that you get when you go to Pizzeria Delfina for, I want to say, the last 9 years or so. It really does work and can oftentimes be lucrative for the businesses that are delivering the goods and oftentimes be an added source of revenue that really keeps a business going.
And the other thing I think that's so amazing about the kitchen is, at least according to the photos, you can almost sense that everybody's learning from each other and sharing resources. So can you talk about that, Eileen?
Yeah, I mean, I look back immediately to when I first started in the pre-incubation program. You start with a cohort. And so I had these amazing women from Michiote, Origen, and Noodle Girl, you know, coming from Filipino, Mexican, and Vietnamese food experiences. So while we have different things on our menu, I think just being able to be in this experience where we're beginning to, you know, find ways to move our dreams forward, there's a lot of mutual support that comes from it. And I, you know, in addition to all the tangible and practical aspects of like understanding financial forecasting or pricing, I think we really can't underestimate the power of having, you know, a cohort system both during and after to be able to find, you know, ways of trading, you know, tips with each other, things that are working, and just being able to rely on each other for like emotional support as well. Like, that's such a big part of being in this world.
Well, thank you for the question, Steve. And I just want to give a shout out to Steve because he owns a restaurant called Under the Bodhi Tree, which is on the Big Island in Hawaii.
I'm from there.
Oh, you're from there.
I've eaten there,
you
Steve,
have.
So thank you.
Oh, that's great. Well, I love this restaurant because it's all organic, a vegan vegetarian, and he does a great job of working with local farmers and really raising other community businesses, raising up other community businesses. So great to hear from you, Steve. And I love to learn that you ate there. You've eaten there.
Yes, our family lived on the Big Island before moving here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, let's go to a caller. Let's hear from, is it Marilena in Alameda?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes. Hi. Yes, it's correct. So I was hearing the program, and I just thought about a way to support the new business. I'm a photographer, and I have also a student at Laney College of in the photography department. So I thought that I could give for free my time and donate photographs of the new business if there is a need for, you know, I don't know, for a website or whatever they may need photography for. And since I have my connection with the Laney College, I'm sure that I can involve other students, and I hope that business grows so much that there's going to be a need for more and more photographers for you guys.
Thank you. Tina?
Yes, we would love to have you, and I love to be photographed, not necessarily me, but my cakes. And I always need updates for my website. So, and there's many of us, so we all need photographs. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, the truth is that we at La Cocina, we are a small staff, and we would not be able to do the work we do if it wasn't for a vast network of volunteers. So please, yes, volunteer with us. Tell anyone you want, and anybody out there listening, you can go to lacocinasf.org. There's a volunteer page. You can submit your copy of your resume and tell us what you're interested in volunteering for. I mean, all the work we do at every step, we work really closely with volunteers, volunteer graphic designers to create brand identities, volunteer pro bono attorneys for entity formation. Food photography is a big one that we always have a need for, website development, financial volunteers, you know, QuickBooks, you name it, we need it. Reach out. We'd love to have your help.
Well, thank you, Marilena. That is such a generous offer, and we have your phone number, and we will pass it on to our guests after the show. Thank you so much for calling in and making that offer. Today, we are talking about La Cocina. It is a nonprofit business incubator dedicated to supporting working-class food entrepreneurs, primarily immigrant women and women of color, in building successful food businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they are out with their new cookbook. It is so beautiful. I hope you can get your hands on it. La Cocina businesses have opened more than 32 restaurants. They found national distribution for packaged products, created hundreds of jobs in their communities. And today we're speaking with Emiliana Puyana. She joined La Cocina as program manager in 2016, and she took part in the incubator program in 2011 and started her own pickling business. Tina Stevens is owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts that delight. Tina has a kiosk at UC Berkeley, Monday through Friday at the Student Union Building. What are the hours?
11 to 4. But sometimes I'm there later. If I have cakes to make, I will stay open. But the best bet is 4.
Well, it's a lot of work also to do this, right? Because you're there for 5 or more hours.
Right.
And then when you're not there, you're baking.
Yes. And I'm baking in the morning. But the school is ending, so we will actually be closed for the summer, but I still do custom cakes. So you can go to my website, shout out, and I can make it.
Okay, thank you. And we have your website at yourcallradio.org. We're also joined by Eileen Suzara, owner of Sariwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina. So tell us, if a business is currently in incubation, what are the next steps?
Yes, so from incubation, it's just all about getting your wings to fly, basically, which you might have noticed if you've gone on the website, or you'll see in the cookbook that there is a flying bird. So I would say, and Emiliana or Tina, feel free to jump in, is to figure out, you know, what is the next viable opportunity for you, you know, after you've gotten to test out different models and find out what's working, is to go out into the world. And ideally, you know, this could look like becoming a brick and mortar or a farmer's market or a catering business or some model that works for your dream.
And talk a little bit about how you got connected with La Cocina and what the overall experience has been like.
Yeah, I guess the short story is even before I knew I was going to be able to focus completely on food, I used to work in the small educational nonprofit that was in the Mission years ago. So I would walk back and forth in front of La Cocina all the time, and I would hear amazing things about it, but it wasn't until some years had passed that it came back on the radar, and I absolutely knew in my heart that I wanted to apply and see if there was a chance of being part of this.
What are some of the main things that you've learned, and when you're thinking about putting your business together, talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, what I appreciate with La Cocina is you have to already have a dream in mind when you come to them. And sometimes these things can change, the details can change. And I can say mine definitely changed quite a few times, as Emiliana has seen in our pre-incubation and incubation path. But you do need to come with a vision. And so when I started, I absolutely knew that I wanted to focus on, you know, my family, my community's foods, Filipino-American flavors, and be able to also pair it with this desire to work with the local food system, with small farmers of color, and with my own network in that world as well, and to find a model that could bring those pieces together.
You did an interview with Bon Appetit, and you said that your relatives and others have told you that healthcare providers advise them to cut back on Filipino food. And you pointed out that this can imply that something they value, their own food, it's part of who they are, is making them sick. But people in your workshop recall eating vegetable dishes growing up. In fact, that the cultural dishes they already know might call for, you know, bok choy, sweet potatoes. And you said if you want to change health outcomes, those are the pockets of wisdom that have to be shared.
Yes. And I still stand with that. I think it's so much about, you know, channeling and tapping into the strengths that communities already have within. And so I've seen both in family and personal experiences and also just working out in community that there are so many ways that the food traditions of my community have been devalued or misunderstood. And mm-hmm. so it's so important to be able to, I think, celebrate and uplift in a really empowered way. And I wanted to find out how I could be part of that by having a food business.
What do you think are, you know, what's inaccurate about the perceptions that people have about Filipino food?
Inaccurate. So many things, which I won't get into here. But I think what is clear is that just as with any food culture, there are so many nuances and layers. And I think because of the lens of colonization and some of the pressures around assimilation and just some of the lack of visibility, you know, the Filipino-American community has had to really push to be seen and recognized as the strong and vibrant community that we are. And that includes the foods that we have. I think that this understanding that Filipino-American cuisine is actually changing rapidly. So in the time that I applied to the incubator, we've actually seen something like a revitalization and this awakening of what Filipino-American foods can be, which is a great time to be, you know, starting and launching a food business. But I think that there's still a ways to go, and it's all about challenging these norms that were set up from, you know, frankly, an imperial system that was trying to devalue food traditions that mean so much to our ancestors.
And it's been so interesting and inspiring to watch the whole movement around decolonizing food really grow and get a lot more attention.
Yes, absolutely. And I think so many people are doing it in different ways, and this is the right time for it. It's been the right time, but it's happening now.
Can you tell us about the meaning of Soriwa? That is the business currently in incubation at La Cocina, the business you plan to open.
Yes. Soriwa means fresh. But I feel like there's more layers to it that don't all come across 100% in English. And I'm actually, you know, in choosing Soriwa, I wanted to find something that would both mean the freshness of the food, but also the freshness of revisiting tradition and seeing it in a new light.
Eileen Suzara is the owner of Soriwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina, and she is featured in the new cookbook, We Are La Cocina. Tina Stevens is owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts, and her kiosk is open at UC Berkeley, the Student Union Building, Monday through Friday, 11 to 4. They'll be closed for the summer, but you can visit her website to find more about the amazing delights that she creates. So, Tina, how did you find out about La Cocina?
So I took a small baking program, and one of my classmates told me about La Cocina. I did not know about La Cocina. And I talked it over with my family, and one of my daughter's friends who lived in the Mission knew about La Cocina, and she was like, oh, you're going to be famous now if you get to La Cocina. So I had not heard about all the wonderful things that La Cocina had done prior to applying. So I just applied because I heard they gave help and I needed help because I did not know what I was doing. But since being with La Cocina, I have been around amazing chefs. I know so many people that I can go to now that prior to this, it was just me going on the internet trying to figure out, okay, how do I do this? Mm. I can seek help, of course, from the people at La Cocina, but also the other business owners, because they're all in different stages of their business. And I can go to anybody, and I'm actually at a stage where I can offer help to newcomers, too, mm. which I feel good about. So, yeah, La Cocina has helped me immensely.
So when you're out there searching on the internet, you just feel like you're doing this on your own.
Yes.
And then when you're there, it's a community effort.
Yes.
What are some of the main things you learned to be where you are today?
So when I joined La Cocina, I had my business name, and I had the passion that this is what I want to do, and I need to figure out how to get there. And when I joined La Cocina, I was with two other women in my cohort, and we just learned everything. We learned we need permits, we need insurance, we need to figure out how much our food costs in order to price it, in order to make enough money to pay ourselves. We learn marketing, like how am I going to get my business out to the community so they can come to me and make purchases. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot.
In your story in the cookbook, We Are La Cocina, you say that in some families you're expected to go to college. In my family, you're expected to start a business. It's just what we do. And you grew up planning to become a seamstress with a fashion boutique.
I did.
And then did this all change when you decided to make your own wedding cake?
I think it did. I've always been creative. You know, wedding cakes and birthday cakes are a creative process. And I learned how to sew when maybe I was in elementary school. So that's what I did. And I made, when I went to prom with my husband, I made his suit and my dress. That was like the first major thing that I did. And I had a daughter, and I stayed at home to raise her, and so I was not working at that time. And then when she was two, that's when we got married, and I made the cake, and it kind of started from there. Yeah.
You also say in the cookbook, We Are La Cocina, now that I look back at what my great-grandma and grandma did, I'm not sure how they did it, especially back then when everything was segregated. It was a major accomplishment for a Black woman to own a business, but to me, it just seems so normal. There's so much that I wish that I could ask my grandma that I didn't know to ask as a kid. But now when I sell a cake, I imagine she would be proud.
Most definitely. And when I say that, we do go to college, of course. There's family. I have family who's graduated from Berkeley and Stanford, and we have masters. But we take, some of us go to college and some of us don't. But we take whatever diploma we have and we start a business.
Hmm. What would you ask your grandma? What are some of the questions you'd like to ask her?
I mean, there's so many things that I would like to ask her that anyone who's young, who's listening now, who still has their grandparents, you need to talk to them. Mm-hmm. You need to find out what they were doing when they were little, because you're going to want to know after they're not with us. I mean, there's so much that I would like to ask her. But as far as business, it's just, how did you get the strength to do that when you had so much, when you had society telling you that it couldn't be done and that you should not be doing it? I think that's the number one thing I would have liked to ask her.
And what was her business?
She ran a convalescent hospital. My great-grandmother started it, so... And I do remember my great-grandmother, but I was little, and I didn't ask her anything except where's lunch, probably.
That is Tina Stevens, owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts. And she has a kiosk at UC Berkeley, Monday through Friday at the Student Union Building, 11 to 4. It will be closed for the summer. But if you'd like to order one of her cakes or desserts, you can go online, yourcallradio.org, to find her link. And we're almost out of time. Emiliana, I wanted to ask you, if anyone is interested in getting involved in La Cocina, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so you can go to our website and see all the different events that we have coming up. The first step really is to attend one of our orientations. That's a 2-hour orientation. It's free to attend. You need to pre-register, but that's about all you need to do. And we really go into detail at that orientation about what La Cocina does. And then also, if you don't think you qualify for a program or you don't want to be a part of La Cocina, it's also a great place to learn just about what permits you need for starting a business in San Francisco and roughly how to think about starting to write a business plan. That's really the first step. And then you can always come stop by La Cocina. We're on Folsom between 25th and 26th. There's somebody there basically 7 days a week that can answer some basic questions about our program.
And maybe if you want to learn more, if you're in the Bay Area, a nice taste would be to go to one of these events.
Absolutely. So FMB, which is our speaker series, Voices from the Kitchen, is June 6th. And it's going to be at the Brava Theater. It's a really, really amazing event. We really try to create a platform to lend space for the voices less often heard. And there's amazing food. There's amazing programming. And you should definitely go to that.
Great. And we will put these links on our website in just a couple of minutes at yourcallradio.org. We Are La Cocina will also be at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco on Monday, June 17th at 6:30. Emiliana Puyana is Program Manager of La Cocina. Tina Stevens is owner of A Girl Named Pinky, where her passion is to create custom cakes and desserts. And Eileen Cesara is owner of Sariwa, a business currently in incubation at La Cocina. Emiliana, Eileen, and Tina, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It's been great
Thanks
to
so
have
much
you
for
all.
Having us.
Thank
yes.
you so much.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.